Obamathon.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. President Barack Obama's media tour wraps up tonight with an appearance on the David Letterman Show. Yesterday, the president was on five different networks. But before he takes the late night stage tonight, he'll be talking innovation at a New York community college. Lots to talk about. Marketplace's Tamara Keith joins us live from Washington this morning. Hi, Tamara.
Hi.
So what's the president expected to talk about?
Well, he's going to make the case that we need to invest in education, infrastructure, and research. And he's going to talk about the money that was in the stimulus package that went to support basic research in health, energy, information, and information technology. That stimulus money adds up to something like $100 billion. And his point is that you have to invest in these kinds of things to grow the economy over the long term.
All right. But why is he having this event now? I mean, the stimulus was passed months ago.
Yes. Well, I think he wants to remind folks back at home that he has a domestic policy agenda, that there's a lot of work to do still to repair the economy, and that his agenda includes something other than health care, which might be hard to remember since all we've been talking about is health care for weeks. And this comes in a week when he's going to be speaking at the UN General Assembly, and he's going to be at the G20 meeting in Pittsburgh, talking Middle East peace, among other things. So it's a big week on the international stage, and so he's kicking it off with a little shout out to the domestic side.
All right. Marketplace's Tamara Keith joining us from Washington. Tamara, thanks.
Thank you.
Stocks are starting the week on a bit of a downer. European shares are lower across the board right now. Asian shares closed mixed today. The Hang Seng down, the Shanghai up. On Wall Street Friday, S&P shares, NASDAQ, and Dow all ended the week in positive territory. The Dow closed at a new high for the year at 98.20. While there are signs the recession is easing, millions of Americans aren't seeing it yet when it comes to job prospects. The House is taking up emergency legislation this week to provide 13 weeks of extended unemployment benefits. And yeah, a lot of people are out of work. There are already plenty of calculations for what the holiday shopping season may look like. Ashley Milne-Tight reports.
Retail expert John Malanafy tracks retail sales all over the country, but he was struck by what Chicago's sales tax receipts showed during the first 6 months of this year. Sales in the metro area fell $2.5 billion in the first quarter, and they kept dropping.
In the second quarter of the year, they declined by $3.3 billion. That, along with what retailers are doing, tells me that we haven't hit the bottom, and I think we're going to have a very frugal holiday season.
He says Chicago's a good barometer for much of the country. Britt Beamer heads America's research group. He says his latest survey shows just how tight-fisted shoppers are.
Amazingly, consumers in America will not start spending again until January or June 2012.
He says so many people are out of work, paying off debt, or afraid of losing a job. This holiday season is likely to be worse than last year's. I'm Ashley Milne-Tight for Marketplace.
Cell phones usually tell you who your caller is. The Financial Times reports an application from Robo.to will be available in the coming weeks for iPhone and smart sets running Google's Android system. The program will include where the caller's phoning from, what they're doing, and even how they're feeling. Oh. Let me check this. Hang on 1 second. Hello?
Hello, Steve. Incoming call from your mother. Status update, upset. Location, on couch in Alabama. She's watching Lifetime. You forgot her birthday. This smartphone says, do not take this call.
Oh boy.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys, constantcontact.com. And by Thrive and Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times, thrivent.com.
A group of 40 senators, mostly Republicans, say the troubled asset relief program should go away as scheduled at the end of the year. They sent a letter on Friday to Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner. Congress approved the $700 billion fund last October after the collapse of Lehman Brothers to stabilize financials. In securing those repayments, the government's actually made a return. Fortune magazine's Alan Sloan joins us now to talk about whether it's been a good ride for Uncle Sam. Good morning, Alan.
Morning, Steve.
So the word profit keeps being thrown around, but is that the word we should really be using?
Well, it really shouldn't, because the whole purpose of TARP was to stabilize the banking system, stabilize the financial system, stabilize the world economy, and to a large extent, it's really helped do that. The fact that the government may actually collect somewhat more than it paid out for this would be, to me, an accident, though I still think we'll be doing well to get back all the money that we invested in these banks back when things were really grim.
If we as taxpayers, Alan, are investing our money in TARP, shouldn't we be expecting them to make shrewd decisions?
No, because the question is, why is the government investing the money? The government is investing the money to stabilize the financial system. You know, if the point here was to make money, the government could have hired Warren Buffett. Warren could have invested money of the government's on the same terms he invested in things like Goldman Sachs and General Electric, which were rates that would make a loan shark blush, and the government would have made a lot more money. On the other hand, many of the institutions that couldn't pay those rates might not have made it.
The history books, Alan, are going to be writing about this. What are they going to be saying about TARP?
I think it's going to depend on who writes it. If it's written by guys who are in favor of big government, they're going to say TARP bailed out the financial system and even in the end made a small profit, though I don't like that word, for the government. And if it's written by the free market people, they'll go on endlessly about how it was a boondoggle, forced government control of major institutions, and was of no use whatsoever. And if I write the history, it will be somewhere down the middle, and it will be the right thing.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan joining us. Alan, thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
Hey, share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.